Heavenly Father, help us now. I don't want to sound self-serving, but I want to count my blessings. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful psalm. Bless now our hearts, and I pray that you'd not only encourage us, but Lord, teach us and help us today. In Jesus' precious name, I ask these things. Amen. In this great chapter, and by the way, it is a great chapter, there are a number of great places in the Bible. This is one of them. And the psalmist tells us of his great longing to be in the house of God. Now, why would that be such an important thing? He was so very thankful for it. And at that time, God's people would only travel to the house of God 3 times a year. No wonder he was hungry for it. They didn't get to go every week like we get. And I know this is the church, and I know it's not the house of God, and I know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I realize all that. But just indulge me just for a moment. We get to go to the house of God anytime we want to. Think about that. I mean, I'm here day by day. We get to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, special meetings that we might have, revival meetings like what we've had in the past, different things. We get to come anytime we want, and we can choose not to come. But when the Word of God here talks and David is speaking, he only got to go to the house of God 3 times a year. That was it. And that was David and the Jewish people only got to travel that way. It was such a big thing for them because they wanted to be where they knew God would be. And in those days, of course, God met with them in the temple, and what a blessing it was for each of them. They couldn't wait to get there. In fact, in the Psalms, there's one of the Psalms that they would sing on their way up the steps as they were headed into the temple, and they were going to worship their God. And boy, how happy they were to be there. It wasn't a matter of, oh, I got to get up early and I have to go to church today. No, they could not wait till those 3 times a year would come around where they could actually be there. And the description of how they felt is found even in this psalm. I want you to look, if you would please, at verse 1. And I want you to look at a particular word where it says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Amiable? I know most people probably have just read over that and figured it was something good. But maybe they never looked up what it meant. I don't know. But I've written down 4 meanings of this verse, of what that word means. It means how beloved. How beloved it was. They loved going to the temple. And they said, it's amiable. It's beloved to us. I love my temple, they would say, perhaps. It also means how happy. How happy. It was not a drudgery. Maybe walking up all those steps was. Maybe the long journey from where they once were was a long journey, and it was hot, and maybe they were tired, and all the rest, and maybe the kids cried, and maybe if they brought any animals with them. I don't know. It might have been a very hard walk to get there, but the truth is they were happy. Oh, there it is. I can't believe it. I remember when we moved here 34 years ago, you drive out west, and then all of a sudden, as you're coming down from Lyman and you're coming down toward the Colorado Springs area, and you look up and you see the mountain range, and the first thing you see is, ah, we're close to home. We're close to home, and look at those beautiful mountains out there. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Of course you do. You've been the same way. How happy. It was a happy moment. It really honestly was. And another word that describes this word amiable is the word delightful. You know, the Bible uses the word delightful about our relationship to the Bible. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. These people undoubtedly thought about the house of God all the time that they were away. And to them, it was a delightful thing, you see. I think that's a wonderful thing. The last meaning that is attached to this word amiable that I'm going to share with you today, and I'm sure it's much deeper than this. It's got to go deeper, but you know, listen, I think all of us ought to go as deep as we can in the Word of God, but sometimes the depth is not what we need. Sometimes we just need the happy stuff. And it means this: how friendly is the house of God? When they got there, I'm sure as they stood outside before they walked in, I'm sure they would shake hands with one another and enjoy fellowship with one another. And it was one of those things where there was a friendly place where they would go only 3 times a year. It wasn't a matter of walking into a place where they heard the latest gossip or they heard the latest criticism or anything. No, it was a happy and a friendly place, and they couldn't wait to get there. I will stand sometimes in this pulpit and I will say that I couldn't wait for this service, and I really mean that. I love coming to church. I love coming to this church. When I was a teenager, I didn't go to church for a number of years, but I started going to church. And I'm glad that I did, and I never looked back. And I couldn't wait till the next service. It's like when one service was over with, it wasn't like, whew, I'm glad that's over with. Well, this has been a long day. I'm so tired, I can't stand up. It wasn't that at all. It was a matter of, I wonder what we're going to have on Wednesday night. Or I wonder what we're going to have on Sunday night. Or after Wednesday, I wonder what Sunday's going to be like. And it got that way with me, with my own pastor. God bless him. You've heard me tell this before, but I was usually the first one there and the last one to leave on almost every single service. Except when I had my bus route, I would load my bus up and we would take all the children home. But on Sunday nights, I would get there early, and on Sunday nights, I would leave late. The pastor would just say, close the door, make sure it's locked when you walk out. And that was fine, and I enjoyed it. And you get to the place where you can't wait to go. You don't know what the Lord has for you. You can't wait to hear what God's going to teach you. You can't wait to hear what the Word of God has to say, or what the pastor or the Sunday school teacher is going to mention or bring up to you or remind you of. When I read in the Bible, I find out that preaching is mostly reminding us of what we already know. You don't go to church and learn something brand spanking new every time you walk in the building. It's because 2/3 of it, according to the Bible, is just being reminded of something that you've already learned. And if you're like the rest of us, probably forgotten about and needed the reminder. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand because I know that's true for all of us. So when I read this, when I think about Timberline, and I said the message title today is Thank God for Timberline, I am thankful for this place. I honestly am. When I was growing up, I was thankful to my Heavenly Father that I had Faith Baptist Church to attend. And then when later on, when Pastor Evelyn came, the name of the church was changed to Heather Hills Baptist Church, which was the area in which the church was actually located at 1421 North German Church Road. And the neighborhoods around it was called Heather Hills. And so the name of the church became Heather Hills Baptist Church. And we just wanted to be there. And I loved my home church. One night, I was on a Sunday night, and just like in Colorado, sometimes in Indiana, you had heavy white snow. And the kind where the flakes are this big, and on a winter's night, you can actually hear the snowflakes hit the snow. You know what I'm talking about. The flakes are so big and so heavy. And one night, a bunch of us got in Sherry's car. Her car was named Sarah. I have not yet named my car. I named my gun, but I've not named my car yet. And we got into Sarah, and all six of us, and we loaded into that thing, looked like the Keystone Cops driving down German Church Road. And the snow was coming down by the fistful. And we were happy because we were getting, say, who was in the car? Teenagers, just teenagers, not adults, not little children, teenagers. And we couldn't wait to get to church. When we pulled into the parking lot, the pastor, God bless him, he's in heaven now, he was walking out of the building and had canceled services that night because the roads were so bad. And here we were in Sarah, driving to the church on roads that the pastor had canceled church because of the treacherousness on the road. And we got there, and we were so disappointed because we didn't get to be in church that night. On the way home, a dog ran out in front of Sherry's car, and she hit it, and I think it broke its back leg. And yipe, 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 went running off and all that, and Sherry just about died. God bless her heart. A dog just about died too, I suppose, but that taught him he'll never run out in front of a car again. We were so disappointed because we wanted to go to church that night. Now, again, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands, but have you ever been that way about going to church? I'm glad I started that as a teenager. Just couldn't wait to get there. Didn't want to miss a service. I was out of church. I got saved at 8, and then for a number of years, I was no longer in church. But I went back to church when I was a teenager and never missed a service after that unless I was sick or unless we were on vacation somewhere with the family. But I couldn't wait to go to the next service. and I really mean that, could not wait until the next service. That was me. So I've written down some thoughts this morning that I want to share with you. They're simple, very easy to understand, but it's from my heart and why I love Timberline Baptist Church and why I can't wait to come in for services. And when I stand outside that door, right, or inside my office on the other side of that door right there, and I'm standing there in anticipation of coming out here for a church service, or when Brother Penn and I stand back there before services and we pray together before the service starts. And on Sunday morning, Brother Penn will pray for Sunday school. I pray for the morning service. And then on Sunday night, he prays for the Sunday night service. And I can't wait to come out here and stand behind this pulpit and see each of you. You say, Pastor, are you being sincere? Serious is a heart attack, and I know how serious that is personally. And what I'm saying is, I love Timberline, and I thank God for Timberline Baptist Church. But I'm going to tell you what Timberline ought to be. In areas where it isn't, it ought to be. In areas where it is, I thank God for that. But first of all, I think church ought to be a friendly place. It ought to be a friendly place. Psalm 84 and verse 1, once again, it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I'm talking about a friendly place. People walk in, they see a smile on your faces. They get handshakes when they walk in. We have fellowship time, and the piano plays, and we're all greeting one another, saying, I'm glad that you're here. Thank you so much for coming. I've always put in little booklets that I've printed, it'll say, howdy, howdy, we're glad that you're here. If you've ever been to one of our special meetings that we've had here, I'll put on, we're glad you're here, we're glad that you came. It ought to be that way, where you have anticipation of walking in, and there's a friendly face there, and somebody to shake your hand, a friendly place. I'm not a church with a form of godliness, but a living organism, a place where there's life in that place. That's the way that it's supposed to be. And one might say, that's not my personality. Then my advice to you is change your personality or come out of your personality like I do. I am, and I know you don't believe this, but I've said it through the years and I'm trying to convince you that it's true. I am a shy person. I honestly am. I prefer to be by myself. Give me a stick and a piece of paper and put me in a corner and I'm happy for a month. Okay, that's just sort of the way I am. And that's the way I have always been, ever since I was a teenager and started doing the where you talk to a lot of people or whatever. I've never been one to first of all reach out. But when I do reach out, I'm going against the way that I am, okay? And what you need to do is come out of how you are and be something for so that people know, that even people that you see every single week ought to know that you're glad that they're here. And I say that to you, don't I? When I see you, I'll shake your hand and I'll say, thanks for coming. I'm glad to see you today. Glad you're here. Thank you so very, very much. It ought to be a friendly place. There ought to be some laughter and some sincere amens and some handshaking and all the rest of it. There ought to be all of that in the church service. It ought to be a place, I didn't even know how to make this statement, but it ought to be a place where you can walk through those doors and hang your burdens outside there and walk in here and not be burdened down by them. And I mean that. Everybody in this room, I just start up here and go around the room and look at every face. Everybody here is carrying a burden today, every one of you. But you know what? We don't need to bleed all over someone just because we're having a bad or a hard day. And it doesn't mean we can't cry, and it doesn't mean we can't be sad or anything like that. But what I'm saying is you ought to be able to walk through that door and say, finally, I get to be here, and I can hang my burdens out there. I can leave them outside. I don't have to carry them in here. And maybe I can walk into the church and receive some encouragement to help me to carry my burdens. Maybe I can do that. Maybe someone will look at me and shake my hand and say, I'm so glad that you're here, or I've been praying for you. How are you feeling today? I'm so glad that you're here today. Thank you for making it. And I realize a lot of people have not gone to church for lesser reasons than you carry with you right now. You know how encouraging that is to someone? That's incredibly encouraging. It ought to be a place where you can leave your burdens out there in the foyer and just maybe pick them up on the way out with wider shoulders, maybe stronger shoulders, but pick them up on your way out and say, you know, I received something that I needed today. You ought to be able to come to church and hear something besides criticism. You ought to be able to come to church and hear something besides someone talking about somebody else behind their back or whatever it might be. It ought not be that kind of a place. It ought to be the kind of place where we literally can come in, leave our burdens outside, and enjoy a friendly place. Have you ever looked at someone when you've gone someplace and said to them, "Oh, it's so good to see a recognizable face or a friendly face or thank you for the handshake"? Many, many years ago, I had gone back to my home church and the pastor was gone and the people were not the same people now. Only a few of the new members were there from when I was there. And I walked in and I remember I sat down and not one single person shook my hand. Not one. No one. Didn't even recognize that a young man who had gotten saved there, baptized there, called to preach there, surrendered his life to serve the Lord there, served the Lord there, preached there, had a bus route there, did everything there, growing up, had all of that. And I felt like a stranger, a total stranger. It ought not ever be that way when you go to church. You ought not feel like a stranger. I've heard people say, "I get better fellowship with my unsaved friends at work than I do at church." Well, whose fault is that? It might be the church. What I am saying is this: this ought to be a friendly place where you can come with a smile on your face. And I like what the one song said. It says, I smile, but that covers up a frown. I tell jokes to lots of folks, as the songwriter said, but yet there's the tears. It ought to be a place where you can come and you can carry those burdens in to where you need, but you get encouragement once you get in here. That's the way church ought to be. And I mean that. I've said to you so many times through the years, no matter what the sermon content is, whether it be negative or whether it be positive or whether I'm preaching to the choir or whether I'm preaching to encourage you or whatever it might be, it ought to be a place where we can come as a friendly place. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Just like those people who were gone for only three times a year to go to the house of God. They couldn't wait to get there. We don't have church 7 days a week. But we do have it more than once. We do have it on Sunday morning twice. We do have it on Sunday night. We do have it in the middle of the week. We do have special meetings. All of those things are here to encourage us. Timberline Baptist Church ought to be the friendliest place in Manitou Springs. It really ought to be. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Oh, and when you meet somebody out in public, you're not avoiding eye contact. I mean, just be friendly to folks. Howdy, howdy. By the way, remember how I told you I say howdy, howdy to folks everywhere that I go? I still do that. Everywhere I go, I say howdy, howdy. And walking into the post office, going to the store, or going into the checkout line or whatever it might be. Howdy, howdy. And now if I'm in a business, I'll say, "How's business?" And they'll tell me it's slow or it's fast, it's overwhelming, that it's steady. I was picking up a prescription the other day at Walmart, of all places. And I looked at the guy who was behind the counter. I said, "How's business?" And he said, "Well, it's steady. Not been too busy, not been too slow. It's been real good." He and I had a conversation about that. And he had an odd name. And I asked him, I said, "Is this such and such?" And I called his name. He said, "This is what it is." And I said, "That's British, isn't it?" He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Most folks have no idea that that's a British name." And I said, "I thought it was." We talked for a while. And anyway, it was good. But see what? I not only represent Christ when I'm out, I represent Timberline Baptist Church. We leave tracks. Have you ever noticed that? I actually put tracks back in the track rack because you people, God bless your hearts, are out passing out gospel tracks to people all over the place, you see. So first of all, church ought to be a friendly place. It really ought to be. Secondly, we learn from here that God's people longed for the house of God. Psalm 84 and verse 2, look at the words. He simply said, "My soul longeth." When he says "my soul," it's a phrase that draws a picture. He's talking about himself. He's not talking about the invisible thing inside of us, okay? He's talking about himself, my soul. When the psalmist would say, oh, my soul, or bless the Lord, oh, my soul, he was saying, bless the Lord myself. I'm the one who's blessing the Lord myself. And he says here, my soul, I long, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Let me tell you something that started missing in modern day Christianity. God's people no longer long for the house of God. They don't. I've been around long enough. I've been saved, what, 60 years? Been in the ministry full time since I was a teenager. Served the Lord. And I find that people do not long for the word for the house of God. And as the Jews were at home and away from the temple, they would long to be there. They wanted to be there. They couldn't wait to get there. It was what they wanted to do. And their hearts would be heavy because they were not at the house of God. Did you see what it says? Even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. They knew that when they went there, they were going to meet with God. Over the years, how many times have you heard me pray, dear God, meet with us today? Meet with us today. What does it say in our bulletin, in the greeting, that you never read anymore, of course, because you know what it says? Some things you put in the bulletin, oh, I saw that last week, or I saw that last year, or I saw that for the last decade, or whatever it might be. And it says there that our prayer is that you've known the presence of God. That is still the prayer. That is still the prayer. Not walk into an empty place. Not walk into a place where it's empty and void of the Spirit of God. A place where God meets with us. And you don't have to have a big crowd to have God meet with you. And there are some today who equate having a very large crowd or a very loud crowd or a very rambunctious crowd with God meeting with them. But that's not true. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it's the thunder. Sometimes it's the wind. But sometimes it's just the still small voice. Wanted to go to a place where they knew that God was going to meet with them. It's really interesting. My pastor, years ago, he told a story, which I thought was really good. He pulled over on the side of the road where a sparrow had gotten hit by a car and was dead. He got out of his car on the side of the road and knelt down beside the sparrow. And he told that story, and someone said, why did you do that? He says, because the Bible says that God takes notice of every sparrow that falls. He said, and I wanted to be in the presence of God who saw that bird fall. Think about that. Wanting to be in a place where you know you meet with God. And we've made church and the Word of God so theologically correct, if I can use those words, that we no longer look for and seek for the presence of God in our services. I ask God every time I step into this pulpit, Lord, meet with us today. Lord, speak through me. Stand behind me and speak where I'm not clear. And let people hear your voice in their hearts to where you're teaching them rather than the cares of this world blocking the very voice of God in their hearts. You know, we all walked into this room today carrying a burden of some kind. We can't let that block from us the very voice of God in our hearts. Let us learn to be quiet in our spirit that he may speak to us through his word and enjoy the very presence of God in a place. We've all been in services at one time or another, and we've made judgments. We really honestly have. We've been places where we know that it's sort of like you walk out and you say, man, why? Why was I even here? Sometimes it's our fault. I remember when I was, it's been a long time since I've told you this illustration, but a long time ago, I went to a service, and it was just sort of, the place was just as dead and as empty and as dry as last year's bird's nest. I went home and turned on the television and turned on Jerry Falwell and watched the old-time gospel hour so that I could get something from God on that day. There was just nothing. I was in a church one time, and I said amen in the service, and people just, their heads just turned to look at who it was that made a disturbance in their worship service. I want to be able to walk into a place and know that God is meeting with us. And that's what they wanted, because that's how God met with them back in those days. He would meet with them at the house of God. And I know, like I said, there's so many, we've become so theologically correct. We say, well, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and everywhere we go, He goes. We got all these things that we say, but the truth is, you know this. There's something about walking into a place where the Spirit of God is just permeated that place and permeated those people, and there's something going on, and God is meeting with those people, and you walk in and you just want to just be drowned in it. Listen, they can only go 3 times a year. We get to go 156 times a year. Think about that. At least 156 times a year we can be in church. And we can, but often we don't. You remember what Fred said to me one day when I said, yeah, you, out of time you hear the doors squeak on them hinges, you need to be in church. And he said, you need to get some WD-40 and put it on them hinges out there. I don't know if that's because he didn't want to hear them squeaking or what, but he said that. And I mean that with all of my heart. We get to go 156 times a year, and I always wanted to be the last one to leave, and now it seems like I never leave. It seems like I'm here so much. Why should I be thankful for this place? Why should I thank God for Timberline? I wrote down 4 simple reasons. I think you can relate. The first thing that I wrote down was the Word of God is preached here. This book right here is preached here. Every single service. We don't preach out of a quarterly. We don't preach and teach out of a book of sermons somewhere. We don't do that. We preach out of this book. And if you've ever seen the outlines in Sunday school or seen the outlines in the services here, you know that they are jam-packed with Scripture. And we preach the Word of God here. We really do. I think of another reason that I'm thankful for this place is because we sing the songs of heaven here. Glory to God. We're not singing with a praise band and a rock and roll group and dancers and all the rest of it. We sing the songs of heaven. The song on the piano today, the offertory, the special music, and the ones that we sing in the service here. And I think about the ones we're going to sing tonight, and that song service is already laid out for this evening. And I can't wait to get up and sing badly for you all while my voice is changing. Like I said, I've developed an old man voice in my years. But as leading singing, we get to sing those songs tonight. We don't have to stand there and hold our songbook like this and look around like nothing's happening. We get to sing the songs of heaven. My goodness, I'm so thankful for a place that still sings the songs that are in a hymn book. If you've ever gone to our website and read about our church and our services, it says we still sing out of a hymn book. That's right. We still sing out of a hymn book. And I'm not against screens that people have in their churches. I'm not against that at all. Sometimes people can't read the words because their vision is so bad and all that, and they see the words up on a screen. I don't have any problem with that, singing the songs of heaven. None whatsoever. But if you'll look around you, there are at least 1, 2, 3 hymn books in every row in this church, except for the front row, which there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hymn books and 4 over here. We still sing out of a hymn book. I thank God for the songs of heaven. A third thing that I wrote down was that the people of God gather here. You know, I don't hide in my office before services. I'd like to fellowship. I'm not always out here because there are things that have to be taken care of before the service starts. But you know, the people of God gather here. I love it. I love greeting you. And I would rather be, I would rather be 5 minutes early or 10 minutes early than 1 second late for a service. And I mean that. God's people gather here. And it's a sweet place when you can walk in and see people that are born again, saved, love the Lord, and they love the Lord like you love the Lord. And you know that they're rejoicing in the Lord like you're rejoicing in the Lord. And the other thing that I love about Timberline, when I look back over the 34 and a half years that God has privileged Robin and I to be here in this place, I look at the lives that have been changed here. Literally changed. I say, how'd that happen? Well, first of all, they got saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. No things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Secondly, Jesus is still performing. being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. That means he's continuing to help every one of us to grow service after service. I tell you how I like to learn something new every day. Listen, if you feel that you've stopped growing, find out why. What is it that's going on in your life that maybe there's a reason that you've not grown like you used to? As the songwriter said, bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was before when we began. What a tremendous song that is. But sometimes our hearts have grown cold. Sometimes we have become, disillusioned, disappointed, or whatever it might be. Maybe just busy. Just busy, day after day. And it takes our attention even away from growing. I look forward to coming to church and growing, having my life touched and changed. I remember what Buster Fox said to me one time. He said, Pastor Dan, I've had my life changed so many times, I don't even know what I am anymore. And I thought, well, that's a blessing. And he was just a teenager, a senior in high school. Something else, the third thing that I've written down here today about thank God for Timberline is the Jews panted to see the house of God. That's an interesting phrase. Psalm 42, you have your Bible there? I believe you know these verses, leastways you know some of them. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 4. Listen to these sweet words that the psalmist wrote down as the Spirit of God gave him inspiration. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. The Jews panted to be there. The periods were long between visits to the house of God. That means if you were to put it in modern day words, that would be every 4 months, three times a year. Amazing. They didn't get to go like we do. And only three times a year could they go. And they got hungry and thirsty for the house of God, that it compared himself to a hart, a deer, one of God's precious creatures, becoming thirsty for water. Why? Because they're running. Picture a deer running from a hunter, running all day and panting so much and becoming so thirsty that all he wanted to do was get to that water brook and drink. That's what he compares himself to. The Bible says very plainly that the devil is like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy that's after us every single day. Every single day. And I got to be honest and say, I pant to get here sometimes. And if you've ever had a rough week or a rough day or a rough few days in a week, it's good to get away from that just for a little while. When I was a teen, we came to Colorado. We stopped in Purgatory. I didn't know there was a place in America called Purgatory. We were so hot. We were in a church Sunday school bus. That was our transportation. No air conditioning, just put the windows down and hope the wind is going to blow. And we had driven from Indianapolis on Interstate 70 through Denver up into Rocky Mountain, got on the roads and drove down toward New Mexico, and we got down there to Purgatory. We were just about to die. We were so hot and so thirsty in that bus. And we pulled into that one little teeny tiny gas station with a bus load of teenagers. I don't recommend that. Not for the gas station. I don't recommend that for those that are traveling, okay? And they went in there and almost cleaned out everything that they could drink in that store. We were so thirsty and all that. Back when the water in Colorado was clean enough to drink, I remember coming, we had a huge, where the water was coming out of the mountains and flowing down the side of a mountain. And I remember we jumped into that water, and I remember dunking myself down underneath and opening up my mouth and just drinking as much cold water as I could drink. Draws a picture for us here. They're thirsty. Thirsty for the house of God. Thirsty to be in the presence of God. Thirsty to be with the people of God. Thirsty for the presence and the power of God in their lives. They were thirsty for it. And the Bible says, as newborn babes, we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Sometimes we are so filled with so many other things that we are no longer thirsty for the things of God. The way the Jew felt was like that heart. He missed the house of God so much that he got to go so seldom to it, he compared himself to a thirsty deer that just would put his face down and drink in the water. You know, I wish all of God's people were that way, but we're not. And I wrote down one last thought that I want to give you. That this place is where I get most of my fellowship. It is. I don't fellowship much outside of this church. I fellowship here. This is where I get my fellowship. The Bible says in Psalm 84 and verse 3, it says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." The Jews were jealous of the birds who got to live there. You've heard the phrase, "Well, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall in that meeting." These folks here wish they could have been in that house. They wish they could have been like the birds that made their nest there, because they were there all the time. They were there every day. And he only got to come three times a year, and he envied the sparrows who got to lay their young there and to raise their families there. He envied that because they were there all the time, and he didn't get to be there all the time. You say, "But Pastor, we live in different times today." Yes, we can go any time we want, but we often choose not to. Too tired, too busy. Other things are more important. I missed so much when I was out of church for those years. Well, here's what I've thought. I wonder what kind of Christian I could be today had I not missed all those years in church. I got saved at 8, and we went to church for a little while. My dad's work schedule changed, and we didn't get to go to church on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, and didn't go on Wednesday nights, and my mom wouldn't go because she didn't want to go if my dad wasn't there. She wanted to be with him. Well, that's strange. Yeah, my mom didn't even have a driver's license for most of her life. She got one time and didn't use it very often. That was it. That was when I was growing up at home. Mom just didn't want to be in church if Daddy wasn't there. It's just the way it was. So I was out of church for a long time. I went back at the age of 15. And I just wonder if from the age of 9 to the age of 15, if I could have been under the tutelage of the Word of God and the influence of my godly pastor, how different my life would be today. I guess I'll never know, huh? Because it's like the old commercial used to say, if you miss a little, you miss a lot. I wonder what kind of a Christian I would be right now if I would have stayed faithful for all those teenage years. I guess I'll never know. I've tried to make up for it, but I don't know that I'll ever make up for it. The psalmist wanted to rear his family in the house of God. Did you notice that? He envied the bird that laid her eggs and raised her young in the house of God. And today, people no longer want to have their children in church, and they no longer want to have their kids. They don't want that anymore. It happens all the time, and it's all over everywhere that you go. The psalmist was simply saying, "I wish I could." He said, "I want to be there. I want to be the one like that bird that raises all of her young at the house of God." Parents ought to rear their kids around the church, and I really believe that with all my heart. And that philosophy has even changed today. And I want to say emphatically, it should never have changed. The influence of that local church is so very, very important. If young people are raised around the church, they're going to be better off for it. And as a teen, I met with other teens from my church every morning in my church for a time of prayer. My pastor let us use the building. And we needed that as public school students. We couldn't wait to get there. And I remember we would pray in the mornings, and often tears from the young people that would meet. There wasn't just but a few of us. I mean, it wasn't like the entire youth group, okay? I don't want you to get that picture. I'm talking about 2, 3, 4 kids maybe at a time would be in the church early in the morning praying together, shedding tears, asking God for protection and help and guidance throughout the day. But all that to bring us to this. The Jew would rather spend one day in the house of God than 1,000 any other place. Look at verse 10. Now, I want to remind you, as you're sort of casting your eyes down, these words were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This is not just the psalmist saying something. The psalmist was guided and inspired by he was moved by the Holy Ghost, as the Word of God tells us in the New Testament, to write down the words of God. And here's what it says in Psalm 84:10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said, I'd rather be an usher, a doorkeeper. I'd rather be somebody that's not noticed by anybody, that doesn't have maybe a big position someplace. He said, if I could just be a doorkeeper, he said, I would rather do that than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Think about all the things that we could be doing. The psalmist sort of laid it out for us, that being close to God and in the house is wonderful. Psalm 122 and verse 1. Do you see these words behind me here? Up on the wall? When my wife painted those, I thought, what delightful verses to include in our auditorium. Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's what it ought to be with all of us, ladies and gentlemen. Glad when they said, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Let's all load up, get in the car. Let's go to church. Let's get there early. Let's shake hands with people. Let's have some fellowship. Let's listen to the songs of heaven. Let's listen to the instrumentalists. Let's listen to the Word of God. Let's listen to what God has given. Let's hear what God has for us in our hearts. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And by the way, a marvelous scripture song as well. You see, this was the happiest time for the Jew, and he really wanted to go to the house of God. It was just his happiness, the way he wanted to be, a place that he wanted to go. And we are not quite like that. We have the reasons not to go. I wrote down 4. I'm too tired. Number 2, I'm too busy. Number 3, I'm too sick when you're not. Like one man said to me one time, I won't be in church tonight because I have a touch of the flu. To this day, I don't know what the touch of the flu is. Either you have it or you don't. It's kind of like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not. It's not a matter of being in between. You have the flu or you don't have the flu. But his Christianity proved later on that he just simply had an excuse. And lastly, I got too many things to do. Television, ball games, school, work, well, so many different things that can stand in the way. Not the psalmist. So the thing that I ask myself today is, am I really thankful for Timberline? I am. I'm thankful for this place. I remember when each of you came. I remember how God has worked in your lives through the years. And what I'm saying is I love this place, and I thank God for this place, and I thank God for this place every time I get in my car and drive down that mountain. And listen, when we were up in Woodland Park, it was a 5-minute drive. Drive now, it's a 25-minute drive. And all of you in this room drive at least 20 to 25 to 30 minutes to come to church. There's been a time in our lives when we drove about 45 minutes to go to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night Bible studies when we could go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I drive down the hill, and I look forward to being here. Shared yesterday with someone that as Robin and I were out, we were talking to one of the managers, and I got to thinking, you know, the weather is always so, sometimes here in Colorado, the weather can get pretty intense, can it? And how the mountain is usually kept in better shape than all the roads in Colorado Springs. One Sunday, though, I was driving the church's four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive gray van down the pass, and we were doing this on the road, just. And I called Brother Penn and said, you're preaching. I can't get down the hill today. That's one time in 34 years that the vehicle would not have made it, I don't believe. I was disappointed. Well, now I can broadcast from home. That's still not an excuse not to be here. That's still not an excuse not to be here. And so, why not thank God for Timberline Baptist Church? We have the privilege of having a local church. We have the privilege that God has given to us of having a place where we can meet time and time again, week after week, month after month, year after year, and now literally decade after decade. We ought not let ourselves get used to it because we have it. Because the truth of the matter is, often we don't know what we have until we no longer have it. And I want to say I'm thankful today. Thank God for Timberline Baptist Church. I am blessed.